in kind of a St. Patrick's Day vibe around here, and we were talking about the expression, the luck of the Irish. But what if your story is more like the bad luck of the Irish?
Well, we always have an odd one in the crowd.
So it's kind of odd.
Decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, it doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's the Oddcast.
So let me kick this off by saying that I've been thinking a lot about luck since we had talked about this, and I don't think I'm a lucky person or an unlucky person. I think I'm someone who's been very richly blessed. That's not the same thing as lucky. You know what I mean? Yeah. And yeah, like bad things happen. I'm very clumsy and stupid and reckless, and I'm always hurting myself, but I don't think that's bad luck. I think it's me not paying attention to where I'm walking, right? The other day, you guys, I genuinely thought I had given myself a concussion because I went out to load some stuff into the car and I was waiting for Kevin to make his way to the vehicle on the crutches. And I opened the back door so that he could slide his crutches in and opened it with the most violent force right into my head. And when I tell you that for the rest of the afternoon, everything in that I looked at had like a nice, sharp, crisp outline. So I know I did something to myself because it was like, ooh, what was in the punch? And my head hurt and throbbed. And this is the same part of my head where I dropped a copy of Cooking with Cats on it one night while showing it to the camera for our live virtual happy hour. And I still have a knot in my head from dropping a cookbook on my head. So I would say to you, that's not bad luck. That's clumsiness. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, that's clumsy.
That's clumsiness. And, you know, things happen. Like our refrigerator died. That's not bad luck. That's planned obsolescence. I can list a gazillion things and go, that's not really bad luck. And I can point to a lot of really wonderful things. But it wasn't really luck. Because I do believe that you make your own luck by, you know, working hard and being a decent human being and showing up for things and having like an optimistic spirit. You can make some good luck happen. But when I think about the good things in my life, I think of those as blessings, not lucky breaks. So how about you guys?
Yeah.
Lamar, go ahead. No, feel free to go ahead and
okay.
You can talk about all the good luck you've had.
Well, listen. I'll start this off by saying I have had some extremely good luck. I have lived a completely blessed life. But I did have this one small thing where I had plans and it just didn't work out. And probably 80% of the people that will be listening to this are familiar with the story. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I loved movies. Every time I went to my video store, I couldn't get my movie because there was a ton of people in there and everybody was grabbing movies. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So me being a person that loves movies and TV and all that kind of stuff, me and a partner of mine opened up a video store. And man, it was awesome. It was fantastic. Everything was just going my way. I mean, I was going to be the king, you know? And it was doing great. Everything's doing great. I counted the money up one night, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it's a great night. Good thing. Everything's going great. I get in the car. I'm driving home. I get to a red light. There's this big piece of property where they've graded it off, and they're going to put like a shopping center, you know, or, you know, thing. And there's a big sign there, and it says, coming soon, Blockbuster Super Video. That was very unlucky for me. It was
that was terrible unlucky. Luck. You're right.
That was terrible luck. Because not only was terrible luck, I didn't even know.
Yeah, and you
I didn't know part of it. I didn't know they existed. I did not know such a thing existed. So I'm thinking, let me make a phone call. And like I said this before, when I picked up the phone, I found one in Atlanta, and the guy answered the phone, Blockbuster Video. I said, oh, okay. I said, how much you rent movies for? And he said, $2.50. I'm renting them for $1.99. Okay, we're good. I said, how many movies you got there, buddy? How many titles? And he stopped and he looked. He said, well, right now, it's a little bit over 11,000 titles. And I did a quick, I did a quick calculation and I had like 895 movies. I said, okay, thank you. And I hung up the phone. Yeah. So you know how that went. So yeah. Yeah.
That you're right. You know what? That is an instance of pure crap bad luck.
Yeah, it was.
We're very excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. There's so much content. You get classic chat room calls, your best of CDs, behind the scene photos and videos, and it only costs $4.99 a month. Go to bobandsherry.com/premium.
So there's no denying that having a business you've never heard of open up down the street from your business, and it turns out that that business is Blockbuster Video. That is, I'm so glad you called that one out, because to me, that's a perfect example of bad luck. A lot of times what we call bad luck, we don't stop to consider all the ways that we were the engineer of some of that, right?
It could be poor planning. It could be poor planning on your part. I mean, you know.
But that was not the case for you, because at the time that Lamar was opening his entrepreneurial dream video store, to be fair, really nobody had heard of Blockbuster Video.
No.
You weren't the only one. Like, nobody.
The closest one to me, I'm in Spartanburg, the closest one to me is 3 hours away in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, and you have, I mean, why would you think that that was an existential threat for you?
Yeah.
That was nothing. That is a perfect example of just crap bad luck. How about you, Max?
So I had a summer of bad luck when I was 12 years old. I was delivering newspapers. And I would have my bicycle would be loaded down. I had baskets on the front, and then I had twin baskets over the back tire. So I, you know, I'd be loaded up and ready to go. So I am getting ready to go out and deliver the afternoon newspaper. And I'm heading up a hill, and what you do when you head up a hill is you stand up on the pedal, right? And I stood up on the pedal, and that pedal came off, and the shaft that it rides on went into my leg. Okay.
God, could you give us something less cringy? Oh my God!
Oh my God! The pain!
I'm dying. Here.
Whatever you think about it, it was just as gruesome as you can imagine.
Oh.
My mother comes down because I called to her, and my mother comes down, and as we're going across the street, a police car passes, and they said, he looks at it, he says, we're going to get you an ambulance. You need an ambulance. So they take me. As a 12-year-old, riding an ambulance and knowing you're going to survive was kind of a cool experience, I don't mind saying, because they did, you know, do the siren. Anyhow, we get to the hospital. They clean it up. The next day, the next couple days, we're going to go to the beach, right? So they stitch this thing up. You know, we go to the beach, and they said, you can go into the water after about a week. All right? Okay, fine. A week goes by. I go into the water. I come out of the water. This wound has opened up.
Oh.
So we go to a doctor at the beach.
I'm dying.
We go to the doctor at the beach, right? And so he says, let me put some butterfly bandages on this and see what we can do. Okay, fine. We go back. We go to my family doctor, and he says, I think you've got an infection. I'm going to give you penicillin. Okay. So they gave me penicillin. That night, I broke out in hives. So we go back to the doctor, and he says, I'm going to give you a different kind of antibiotic. Okay, fine. Give me a different kind of antibiotic. After a few days, now this leg wound is still not right. It's still not right. I go, after a few days of this antibiotic, my mouth breaks out in sores. I am unable to eat because it's so bad. We go back to the doctor, and he says, the problem is, you're allergic to this antibiotic as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a medication that's going to counteract that. So he gives me the medication to counteract that, and that makes me unable to keep anything on my stomach.
Oh, my God. Young Job. Young Job, if I may.
Yes.
I have two. Well, my first thing is, I think I just discovered the moment where your sister began to hate your guts, because it's starting to sound like the family vacation went sideways, did it not?
It did. Yeah. It did. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the amazing things about this is I really, and I honestly mean this, I had pain with it, but I never had, it was never something that I couldn't deal with. That is what I remember most about it. Anyhow. So this medication where I can't keep food down, now that doctor has gone on vacation because it's the summer. So we have to go to yet another doctor. And he says, I'm going to give you another antibiotic. Okay. And then he says, but I'm concerned about what's going on with your leg because, you know, it's this open wound that's probably, I'm looking here, it's probably about 5 inches long at this point. So then I have to go to another doctor and they have to do surgery on my leg because they have no faith that this is going to heal out. So what they do is they had to cut around it and then seal it up. And they had to put deep stitches in it too.
Now, on the inside.
I'm 12. Mm-hmm. I want to watch. Now, as an adult, I don't even like it when they draw blood. I can't even look. But as a kid, I watched it and I thought it was just like the coolest thing in the world, right? And after we got done, my mother says, are you hungry at all? I said, yeah. She said, you want to go to McDonald's? Yeah. And I sat there. My mother said, I was so sick, I couldn't even eat dinner. Here you are in the middle of the afternoon chowing down on hamburgers, french fries, and a milkshake, you know. Anyhow, but that is the last chapter of that story, which started in June and ended at the end of August. And so
that's really bad luck.
That was a summer of really bad luck.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes.
This is important, Lamar, because I will be one of the people that law enforcement reaches out to help identify a body. Is there a distinctive scar from this episode?
Oh, you can see a scar on my leg. Yes, you can. Yeah.
Left or right leg? Can you give me like the rough location?
It's my left leg. Okay. I'm trying to look and see now and how long that scar is.
Yeah, because I'm going to
probably, I'd say it's probably about 6 inches long. I mean,
I'm going to tell the detectives that. Does the body have a 6-inch long, very faded scar on the left leg? Please say no. Okay. All right. Over to you, Lamar. Over to you.
I think it's clear. We understand why he is your guy on True Weird.
True Weird? Yeah.
Everything he has just said, this set him up. This got him ready to be doing True Weird because
there's nothing he can't handle.
So I could not watch that to save my life.
So that was unlucky, but I would say there's another category called hapless. And there have been times as a child that I was in the hapless category because I averaged going to the emergency room about once a year when I was a kid. There was a period of time that if DSS would have looked at this, they would have thought, something's going on here. I was playing softball and a kid threw a bat, didn't mean to, just threw a bat and hit me in over the eye. And that had to be operated on. Oh, I had, do you know those teeter totters that you see on the swing set, you know, go back and forth?
Yes.
I hit my head on the side of it as a kid. I was going so rambunctiously and to the side. And my parents took me to the hospital and couldn't figure out what happened until I came in and I had done the other side, going the other direction. When I was in second grade, the school that I had these louvered windows, right? And I'm a little kid and I'm just walking along, and I walk into the louvered window. They had to take me to the emergency room for that. When I was riding my bicycle home from school one time, and I'm coming across a footbridge, and I hit the side of it, and it took my index finger on my left hand. And not only did it break it, it dislocated it to the point that it was bent up against my wrist.
Scar! We got to move on to somebody else here. You're killing me. You are killing me. Oh.
But no, I think you correctly identified. It's kind of like me opening the car door into my head. I don't think that's bad luck. I think that's me being hapless and clumsy.
Right.
And I think, Max, I think the secret to your serenity as an adult is that you know the difference between hapless and bad luck.
But what's weird about this, as a child, the one thing that I learned from this, I learned how to be a good patient. I mean, there is something about when I have to have medical stuff done, I'm usually very calm about the whole thing. It's just like, okay, fine, this is what's going to happen. And I all I can say is, as a child, I had lots of experience having stuff happen. I ain't even scratched the surface. I had other things happen. You know, I mean, this is up until the age of probably about 19, when the last thing I probably had was I broke an ankle playing basketball.
You're right, Max. If hospital records had been computerized back then, they would have been talking to your mom about Munchausen's disease.
Yeah, they would have been.
I'm with Lamar. Yeah, your people would have been investigated for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you, Doc? You don't strike me as someone who has bad luck.
It's really weird because I've thought about this for a long time, that I'm one of those people who, like you said earlier, Sherry, like I have neutral luck. And I think that's probably a big reason as to why I'm generally optimistic and just so even keel, is because I don't really experience the extreme highs of great luck happening. But I also don't get beat down by things repeatedly that are extreme bad luck either.
See that? Thank you. We are so alike in that way, because I can only think of one instance in my recent life that was just pure bad luck and had nothing to do with anything, but just, oh, well, man, that's the luck of it. And I don't know if you have an example like that, Doc, where you can really look and go, yeah, I guess that was just bad luck, because I can't see how anything I did or anything anybody else did contributed to that. Do you have one like that before I tell mine?
Not really. Like my mindset nowadays is just, it's not really good luck or bad luck. It's just, as cliche as it sounds, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's just some shit that's happening, right? So I generally, like, I think neutral luck is the way to say it. If something comes my way, it's typically because I worked for it. Like, I don't just get things. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people, it's like, ding dong, it's Publisher's Clearinghouse. No. But if I work really, really hard, I might get something I'm shooting for. I often don't. And Max will agree, because I read him my horoscopes and they're terrible and we laugh. Because it says things like, Capricorn, you've been working diligently most of your life at something that nothing's really come of it ever. And that's a disappointment. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so true. But here's an example of just some bad, bad luck. This was probably 2019. So it was right before COVID. And I was in California on business for the show. And my flight got canceled home. My direct flight got canceled home because there was all sorts of like cataclysmic weather on the East Coast. And you know what happens if there's like a massive weather shutdown in New York and Newark, it cascades across the country, right? So my direct flight home got canceled, but no worries, no worries. The airline said, we can get you home tonight, but we're going to have to fly you. You're going to have to make a stop. I was like, yeah, that is not a problem. So I was just glad to get booked on a flight and not have to find a place to sleep and Uber and pay Los Angeles hotel rates and all. So I fly to Dallas-Fort Worth. And now this bad weather that has caused all these catastrophic delays is, it's a front that's moving across the country. And the pilot has told us that we may hit some rough air. They're going to do their best. They were certainly going to try to get us on the ground in Dallas. And they would, the flight attendants would, as we got closer to landing, update us on connections and gates, because there were some weather-related travel issues. But I'm like, you know, it's probably going to be fine. I'm landing in Dallas. So we land in Dallas and there's a gate stop at Dallas-Fort Worth, which means none of the planes can come off the runway and park at the gates. And the gate stop has something to do with these. I'm not sure if it was weather in Dallas or the airport was so choked up. So we're on the ground and we're stuck and we can't go to a gate. And I've got pretty tight connection and I can see now that it's going to take a whole miracle. But if I've got a gate stop, all these other planes have a gate stop too. So maybe, because I am like Doc, I am a naturally optimistic person. Maybe the plane I'm trying to catch is also stranded out here on the tarmac. So I'm playing Whirly Word on my phone and congratulating myself on being so completely chill. They finally get us to our gate 40 minutes later. And they're rattling off connections and terminals and all of that. If you've never been to the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, it's huge. It's bigger than any town I lived in as a kid in Wyoming. And that is not an exaggeration. It's vast. And as bad luck would have it, we landed like on the A terminal and my connection was so far away that it required a brisk jog and then a tram, followed by another brisk jog and then an escalator ride. Can you picture it? Mm-hmm. But you know what? Luck's on my side, right? Everybody else had the gate stop tarmac issue too. So I get off and I'm in the back of the plane because of course I am. And I finally get off the frickin' plane and I break into a run and I'm just going to OJ it through the airport. Remember when up before OJ was a killer? He was the spokesperson for some rental car company and he'd be running through the airport.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've got my wheelie bag and I'm just running through the airport and oh, I catch the tram. What good luck. The tram is pulling into the station as I get there and I get on the tram and I take it all the way to the other freaking side of DFW, which again is bigger than any town I lived in Star Valley, Wyoming ever. Now I'm at the right terminal and I'm running because of course it's the furthest possible gate. And I'm running and I take the escalator down. I'm running some more. And I arrive at my gate. And as I arrive at my gate, the gate agent is closing the jetway door. And I don't know if you know this, but once they close the jetway door, they cannot reopen it. I missed my connecting flight by 5 seconds at the most. And they told me, oh, yeah, we can't reopen it. Why can't you reopen it? Oh, Sauron will set fire to the lands if we reopen the gate. So, no worries, girl. We're going to rebook you on another flight that's going to take off in about 55 minutes. Oh, look at me. I'm the luckiest person alive. I grab a seat in the gate waiting area. And then I watch on the monitors as every single flight goes red. Delayed, 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 canceled, canceled, canceled. And I didn't want to give up hope. You know, because maybe it would change. And I knew that if I left the airport and took an Uber and found a hotel, that I really wouldn't get home until tomorrow. So I decided I'm going to roll the dice because I've been so lucky today so far. And the end of that story is I didn't get home until 2 o'clock the next afternoon. And there is nowhere to sleep at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport where somebody won't find you and wake you up. That was the most, and when I looked back on it, all of the things that I had framed as good luck, I was like, you know what? You need to go slam your head in the door because that was bad luck. Every single piece of that. And Why didn't I see as soon as the pilot went, we've got a gate stop. Why didn't I just get my phone out on booking.com and look for a Days Inn? Why didn't I do that? I didn't recognize the bad luck when it was coming for me, just like you didn't recognize the bad luck, Lamar, when you drove by that Blockbuster video coming soon. Because if you're a naturally optimistic person and you're not looking for a kick in the balls, you never see it coming until it's happening.
Yeah.
Now, is that a better way to be than someone who's always looking for problems and misfortune? I think so.
Yep. Because here's the deal. I always tell Carla, like, of course, I was what Carla has been saying for the last week. There's some nerve damage here. I'm telling you, there's nerve damage. Well, maybe not. I said, you know, let's try this. We got a TENS machine and we're doing all kinds of stuff. And she's going, I'm telling you, it's nerve. I said, well, don't jump to conclusions because I call that borrowing trouble. Don't borrow trouble. Don't create a situation that's making you worry about something. You got plenty of time to worry about it when it gets here. Well, it's here, and she was right, and I was wrong, so sometimes, you know. But
sometimes, I just, yeah.
But I can't just sit around and think about it like that. I can't
and be like worried, like, oh, who doesn't, what bad thing is happening? Who's mad at me? Yeah. Who doesn't like me? What terrible event is coming toward me? My husband has many very folksy expressions that I think he was issued at birth to go along with his accent, right? Because he can say things that I couldn't say. Like, he'll say to me, I called him from the airport and I was like, you're not going to believe this. I missed my connection. They were closing the door as I got here. I missed my connection and I might be stuck here. And my husband goes, well, don't trouble troubles you.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sherry,
that's right.
I'm not like sure it. That's what I'd want to hear in that moment.
Don't trouble till trouble troubles you. Now, the difference between me and Kevin is when Kevin says, woman, don't trouble till trouble troubles you. That sounds one way. But if I were to say to you, hey, Max, don't trouble till trouble troubles you, you would be like, where are you sitting? Because I'm going to come over and punch you. Like, it just doesn't have that same folksy weight, you know? But that is a way of going through life. Don't borrow trouble. Don't trouble.
It's worked for me. It's worked for me so far now.
It's working for Doc. Like, he doesn't even, like, bad luck can't find Doc because Doc can't see bad luck. And there's something to that. That kind of, especially if you believe, okay, Lamar, I apologize because sometimes it gets weird and then you have to pray for us. And we do appreciate that, Max and I, we do. But if you think about, like, the quantum field, and this idea of with your thoughts, you make the world, this idea of manifestation, like that book, The Secret, that Oprah was all about. What I'm about to describe is, but this idea of the quantum field, that what energy you put out is the energy you create and perceive. Doc's over there going, I have neutral luck. If something bad happens to me, what are you going to do? Something good happens to me. Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't allow it into his reality, and so it's not a part of his reality.
Well, 95% of the time, worrying about something does not change it,
and the worrying doesn't change it either. Even if it does happen, the worrying doesn't change it.
No, but I'm just saying, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I mean,
Gone from being a hopeless, hapless child to a mediocre, hapless adult. And I would say
that's growth. That's growth. There you go. That's growth, Max. So that's growth. I like it.
You know, as a child, Max, no self-esteem. I've worked myself up to some pretty solid low self-esteem at this point.
You are not a mediocre adult. Oh, my God.
Set those goals, Max. Set those goals.
Although you think that Max and I just vibe on the same, like, because we're freaky and creepy. Max will say something to me like, I'm a clumsy, stupid, mediocre adult. And I'll be like, oh, yeah? Well, I'm a mediocre hack who's the only person not in on the joke of how much she sucks.
And, Sherry, the worst part about this is I will get an email from somebody, and sometimes I'll get an email from a therapist, and the therapist will say, you know, you really shouldn't say things about yourself like that. You know, that you're manifesting in what you're doing, and, you know, you probably need to get some therapy. I know. I know I need therapy. That's not really a newsflash.
We don't have time. We don't have time for therapy. We're self-employed.
I'm too busy.
Listen, therapy.
Being mediocre is a full-time occupation.
Oh, yeah. I can say that. I can say that.
I needed therapy until I opened a car door on my head, rattled my brains back into alignment. Everything's fine now. I'm seeing things so clearly. Well, we hope that y'all are like Doc. You know, you're just taking your life in as it comes and feeling that everything's neutral and nothing's personal. Bad things aren't happening to you because you're unlucky or undeserving. Things happen because sometimes they happen. Yep. And we hope that you don't feel as Max does, that you're a mediocre, hapless adult who has worked his way up to low self-esteem. Be like Doc. In fact, I'm going to have t-shirts made up that say, I rock like Doc. Because that is
better. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You know what? The wind beneath my wings will be, no, you're not, that you said.
You're not mediocre, mister. Not even a little bit. Now, I can't defend either of us on Hapless, okay? I have no credibility. But you are not mediocre. New episodes of the Oddcast drop every Monday. Our website is bobandshgri.com. Join us on Fridays for brand new episodes of Talking Lamar and, of course, True Weird Stuff. We love you. You're why we're doing it. We really appreciate your listening. We'll see you next time on the Oddcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Oddcast, Talking Lamar, and the Bob and Sherry podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.